Today is our final sermon in our series, Created for Community. And God has created us to be in community for our benefit and His glory. And we've gone through various aspects of what it is to walk in community. And one of the comments that I heard early on from maybe the first sermon in this series, which was titled The Loneliness Crisis, was one of the comments was that, man, I've not been a good friend to other people. That kind of struck me, and it hit me, because we're often we want people to be our friends, we want them to be in relationship with us, but yet are we being a good friend to them? And so, something to consider. And as much as we want a good friend, it's a good question to ask: have I been a good friend to other people? I guess the obvious question is, what does a good friend look like? Some people have the idea that a friend is someone that contributes to their life in one way or the other, to their well-being, while little or no effort is reciprocated to the other person. And friends are often those who have the same interests, the same joys, the same passions that we do. We tend to meet with people that have the same interests. It gives us somebody to travel with, somebody to play games with, somebody to hang out with, or maybe go fishing together, which I had the opportunity to do yesterday, and so it was a great time. And there's those that there's those that will only phone you when they need something from you. They need some your help, or they need to borrow something from you. Or maybe you just are the good time friend, the party animal. Nobody can really expect much from you other than really to have just a good laugh. But have you ever found yourself in a place where you want a deeper, more meaningful relationship with somebody? It's about filling that place of loneliness, that void that really has been there from the beginning of time. God created us. He created us for relationship with Himself. We're, a lot of us, we want that deeper relationship. We want that more meaningful relationship, something that goes deeper beyond the superficial of just, hi, how's the weather, how are you doing, or we can have a few good laughs together, something that challenges us in life, in our spiritual journey. Someone to encourage you in the everyday challenges of being a follower of Jesus, no matter where you are, whether you're going to school, whether you're going to college, university, whether you're working, whether you're staying at stay-at-home mom or dad, whether you're retired. We all need people that will speak into our lives and encourage us. And the author of Hebrews, he talks about the need for relationships, because these relationships in the community of followers of Jesus will benefit our lives. Today's sermon is called Next Level, taking it to the next level. Next level relationships. If you're a gamer, level up, move to the next level. It goes beyond the superficial and impacts all of your life, every aspect of your life. And so if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 19 to 25. As you're turning there, though, I would just like to just commit this time to God and just tell Him to open up our, yeah, just to teach us this morning from His Word. Heavenly Father, You are the great teacher. You're the great lover. You're the great author of all things. And man, we come before You with thanksgiving in our hearts for what You do for us and who You are in our lives. And God, as we read Your Word through Your Holy Spirit, would You teach us again this morning? We thank You for Your Word. And may its power just penetrate our hearts deeply this morning. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So let's read from Hebrews chapter 10, 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. In the book of Hebrews, the author is addressing believers who were experiencing incredible persecution. They were in experiencing challenges in their life. Some of it was coming from the religious leaders, and they were, you know, looking back to the law. And what Jesus came and did was he did away with that law. He is the purpose, the reason. The law revealed our need for him. But Jesus came and he opened the doorway. And so what's happening is these people they're hearing different voices from all different places. And some are becoming discouraged. Some are falling away from the faith. And so the author, he's writing to encourage the believers to remain faithful regardless of what they're facing. No matter what you're going through, you're going to go through hardship, you're going to go through trials, but remain faithful. And so from our passage today, from the scripture that we just read, I want to look at three steps that believers both then and now are commanded to take to remain faithful to Jesus. And so the first step that we want to look to is in verse 24. We'll come back to verse 22 in a little bit, but we're going to look at verse 24. Consider one another. Verse 24 says, and let us consider. And what that means is, consider, it's just not, yeah, I considered it and then I moved on. But what it's saying is it's going beyond that. It's going deeper than that. Consider. Think about someone else's needs. Think about someone else where they are at. Be concerned for. Have care and compassion for one another so that you may be able to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. The verb let us consider communicates the concept of careful consideration, thoughtful attention, and deep concern. It's more than just a passing, yeah, I thought about it and carry on, but it's actually going a little bit deeper. Paul says of Timothy in Philippians 2, 20 to 21, for I have no one like-minded who will care for your needs, for all seek their own things, not the things of Jesus Christ. So he's saying what the author here in Hebrews is saying is consider, because of your relationship with Jesus Christ, that's what Paul is saying. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy, that Timothy is this exceptional, he's exceptional at caring for others because he put Christ first. And putting Christ first translated into him being able to care for others. So put Christ first. When Christ is the first, when Christ is foremost, we are able to consider the needs of others because it takes the attention off. It takes the attention off us. It takes the mindset off my needs. We're only concerned about ourselves. We only look out for ourselves, and it redirects our focus to others. Put Jesus first. As Jesus becomes more in our lives, our desire for self-satisfaction, for self-glorification fades. And it translates into caring for others, being able to consider others before our needs. To consider others is born out of an intimate relationship with Jesus. It's out of this relationship that we're able to move to the next level in living in Christian community. When you see someone walking through life, consider what it is that you can speak into their lives to build them up. When they're going through challenges, and we all go through challenges and struggles, when we're going through challenges and struggles, how are you able to build them up? Consider it in your mind. Think about it. Process it. What can I do to build somebody up? Sometimes it's as simple as saying, hey, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying about you. Sometimes it's as simple as dropping off a coffee, Starbucks, just dark with an espresso shot into the pastor's office. Sometimes that's what it's about. Hint, hint. I'm kidding. But sometimes that's the level of caring that we're talking about. Sometimes it's about you're going to get dirty. You're going to get your hands dirty because you're walking together with him in a tough situation, in a challenging situation. Sometimes you're going to encourage them to get into the Word, to read the Word, to remain faithful because of the hard situations that they're going through. And that's what the author of Hebrews was telling and communicating to these people. You guys are going through hardship. You guys are going through struggle and trial. You need each other. You need to be in a place where you care for one another to be able to spur them on and build them up. You consider one another, walk with others. You begin to see their gifts, their strengths, and their abilities. But you also see the growth areas. And because you're walking in relationship, because you know each other and you care for each other, you're able to actually speak into someone's life. See, we can't easily expect to, or we can't expect to speak into somebody's life if we don't know them, because a lot of times we don't know the whole story. We don't know what's going on in their lives to get to that situation, and so we may even speak the wrong things that will bring them down instead of building them up. You see, this kind of spurring on is born out of an intimate relationship. It is getting to know one another very well, so we know it is what we need to speak into, to be able to encourage them to use their gifts, to use their abilities and talents, and to encourage them when they face hardship of every kind, to remain faithful, walking with each other because of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, there's hardships that are very visible. We know when somebody is struggling with an illness. A lot of times we can see that. If somebody loses a job, you know, we see that. If somebody that close, a family member, a friend dies, you know, those are some of the visible things that we can see and we speak into their lives. But a lot of times people are going through struggles that we don't know about and we can't see on the outside. I mean, we're good at hiding things. And so there's things like fear and anxiety and depression that we can hang on to and we can walk with. And unless you start walking in relationship with each other, will you ever understand and see what people are going through? Some of those things you can see on the face. When you get to know somebody, you get to know their expressions, whatever they're going through. Think about your husband or your wife. I know very well when I've said something I shouldn't have to my wife. There's an expression. She doesn't have to say anything. But there's also the expression of when you know somebody's hurting, when you know somebody's just up to mischief. We see all those expressions, and we get to know people really well. We get to see where they are at. When we begin to consider others, putting Christ first, we're able to begin to care more and become more compassionate about someone else. And it's only then that we begin to see that internal struggle of others and are able to care for them well. We can remind one another of the truths of God's word, pray with, listen to one another. Oftentimes, I think we undervalue what it is to just listen, not have to fix, but just to listen. And we do this as we live in community with other followers of Jesus. And that's really the second step. That's really the second step, is to live in community. The need for followers of Jesus to live in community was so important to the first century church. It hasn't changed. It's just as important to the 21st century church, to us here today. The same challenges exist. There are times when you and I, we just want to give up because things get hard, things get challenging, and we don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn. You know, we ask questions and we wonder, where is God in my suffering? Where's God in my circumstances? And the people around us, they're not any help in the world, right? They will give us bad advice. They will give us wrong advice, unbiblical advice. That will bring us down and not build us up. And the same is true for us today as was to the people that this book of Hebrews was written to. They were struggling. They were going through trials. They were going through hardship. And the author wanted them to just remain faithful, be encouraged. And how do we do that? We do it in a community with one another. Well, I mean, we face trials, we face hardship, and we wonder if God hears our prayers. We need to be encouraged in those times. Sometimes we just need to know that God is faithful in your struggle. God is faithful in your trial. Sometimes I just need to hear that again. I know that. But man, sometimes it's just really good to hear that as you're walking along. Often, when we look at this passage, it seems as though it's talking to this whole group. Continue to meet together. Don't stop meeting together. And I believe that's true, that's part of it. But I also believe that this is speaking much more into intimate relationships, because it's talking about building one another up. It's talking about caring for one another. We have the picture throughout the New Testament of believers and how they met together. And they met together so often over a meal, and the meal was more than just, it's more than just having lunch together. It's more than just having supper together. In the culture of the New Testament, what it meant was, I'm inviting you into my personal space. I'm inviting you into a very intimate place in my life. And when you're doing that, you're doing more than just inviting into a meal. You're inviting someone into your life. I want to share my life with you. I want to share this space with you, because I'm thinking their houses were a little bit smaller than ours. Did they even have separate bedroom? And well, the bathroom was maybe outside. I don't know. We don't need to worry about that. But it was a smaller, more intimate place. And when they invited someone in for a meal, they're saying, I want to be in relationship with you. I want to be in relationship with you. It had significant meaning. And that's what we're commanded to do. We're commanded to walk together and live in community. That's hard for some of us, isn't it? Some of you are probably saying, yeah, but I like being alone. And we talked about that in the first sermon in this series, when we talked about the loneliness crisis. Some people are lonely and they would love to be in relationship and friendships, community groups. And there's others that they're enjoying it. But there's an importance to meeting together. And maybe if it isn't for our benefit, then we need to see that God has gifted us, He has given us strengths and the abilities to be able to speak into somebody else's life. That doesn't mean that you're sitting down with a Bible study every week. Maybe it means you're changing oil together. Maybe it means you're cutting grass, I don't know, painting a fence, I don't know. But it's about doing life together and being able to see what's going on in each other's life to be able to care for them. And verse 25 says, and don't give up. Don't give up meeting together. Make it a habit. You see, some people were giving up. They weren't building into these relationships. And I mean, we can see that very clearly today, that the culture around us is very much about living in individuality. Because it's easier, in a sense, we don't have to deal with other people's opinions. But the author says, don't give up, because you need each other. Do you understand how much we need each other to live this life in this broken world? In this world that, with all its sin and the effects of sin, we need each other to remain faithful, to remain encouraged. And it's not going to get easier. Things are only going to get worse. So continue in. Make it a habit. It's a hard habit. We have to be intentional about making habits. They don't come easy often. They require work on our part. I'm encouraging you. I don't know where you're at in your relationships. I don't know where you're at in your friendships, if you have lots of friends or if you have few friends. But whatever friendship places you are in, or maybe you have none. But my encouragement to you is, take it to the next level. Move to the next level in your relationships. If your relationship is simply about hunting, fishing, hockey, football, knitting, crochet, I don't know, painting, if that's what it's about, if that's the end and that's the extent of it, as followers of Jesus, we need to go deeper in our relationships. Go deeper. And the foundational step to consider one another and to live in community like this, it begins with a relationship with God. Verse 22 talks about this. Draw near to God. Draw near to God. Why is that in there? Why is that important? Because it's out of that relationship, it's out of that knowledge of who we are, our position in Christ, where we find our security, where we find and get that, to receive the desire to know what God has done for us. And then we understand why it's so important to live in community and walk in community. To draw near to God isn't about a physical place. It's not about an act of doing something. Often we think that if, in order for us to draw near to God, we have to do something, do more. That's not what it's about. It's a redirecting of our hearts and affections from that of our own selfish desires to the desires of a holy God. Verse 19 in our passage begins with therefore. And this therefore is directing us back to this, the foundational truths that we've seen earlier in the book, that if we would have read it, we would have seen earlier in the book, in chapter 10, where the author is highlighting that Jesus is the one, he is the final, and he is the perfect sacrifice for sin. So therefore, as a result of Hebrews 10:14, by Jesus' one sacrifice, he is made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So we see, draw near to Christ. This is the place where people are made holy, and we want to be encouraged to stay there, to live there, and do life out of that relationship. A perfecting work has been done on the cross through the shed blood of Jesus, making it possible for us to draw near to a holy God. You see, we couldn't always. If you go back in the Old Testament, they couldn't draw near to God. They always had to go through a priest. He was the only one that could go into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, through a huge ritual. And he had to cleanse himself and make sure that he was in the position, cleansed and clean, to be able to enter the presence of a holy God. But as far as your sins are concerned, they will never be remembered, in the sense that they will never be called to account on your behalf or judged. Jesus took care of them all. Jesus doesn't forget any of them in terms of facts, but what matters is this. The fact is, the facts of your sins are never remembered as indictments or accusations. They are only remembered as forgiven sins that highlight the grace of God in Christ Jesus. There's nothing standing in your way to draw near to Christ and to walk in relationship with Christ. We come near because of what Christ accomplished as his body was torn, his flesh was torn. The veil was torn from top to bottom. And now we can approach with boldness. We don't need to waver, but we can approach with boldness and confidence the place where God is. You see, one of the things that was being challenged was that very thing. You guys don't have the right to approach God. And yet the author was saying, yeah, you do actually. Jesus accomplished everything that we need to be able to approach this holy God. And because we are able to draw near, it gives us this new mindset, this new understanding, that it diverts our attention from our needs to that of others. Seek the things of Christ, as Paul did. And it's translated into caring for one another. It's out of a transformed heart, a heart that's experienced his love and his mercy, that we begin to take the focus off ourselves and focus it on Christ. And from that, we begin to care for others really well when they're going through hardship, when they're going through things in life. We're able to forget about ourselves and consider. Consider others. Consider how we can build them up, how we can speak into their lives. Encourage them in their faith. That's what we're called to do. So what this is saying is that we're going to have to level up our relationships because things are not going to get better. They're going to get worse, in fact. You're going to need people to remain faithful. And in order to speak into somebody's life and for them to be able to speak into yours, you'll have to know each other well. You have to get to know their story. And it's out of that close relationship that you begin to open up, begin to share with each other. You allow people in to deeply personal things that you may be struggling with. Or maybe it's deeply personal things that you are passionate about, but you don't know where to tell people about that. It allows you to allow people to come in and to correct you where you need correcting. And you are able to do that for someone else when you are willing to be corrected yourself. I mean, picture what your life would be like if we had relationships on that level, to have support and care in your everyday life and struggle. Oh, sometimes that is invasive. Sometimes that looks intimidating. It sounds scary. I get that. I really do. But what are the benefits? What would it be like to be encouraged when you're struggling instead of often we feel like we're trampled on? But have a friend come alongside you and build you up. And then you're given the opportunity to walk with somebody in their journey, to pick them up, to build them up. And for you to have someone to do that for you is so comforting. It's so inspiring. It creates a passion in us to do the same to others. So today, I'm asking you, each one of you, it's not about your neighbor, it's not about the guy beside you, it's not about your spouse, your children, it's about you. How are you going to level up your relationships? Here's a reality that we have to recognize. If we don't do anything different, nothing will become different. Nothing will change. If we don't do anything different, nothing will become different. Are you willing to? I believe most of us have a desire to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, to walk a more victorious life, to grow, to be the person that Jesus wants us to be. I don't doubt that for a minute. But if we're not going to do anything different, nothing different will happen. So maybe today, how are you going to level up in your relationships? So maybe today, you tell someone something that you've never told anyone before. There's the right place for that, right? I'm not going to yell it out. You're not going to yell it out to somebody across the room. Ah! That's not what it's about. But maybe you sit down and you tell someone, or you ask someone, hey, what is something that you've never told anybody about before? Or maybe you invite someone into your home. And perhaps you've avoided this in the past because you don't think your home is good enough, or maybe it's not clean enough. You're comparing to someone else's home. I get that. So perhaps you just need to lay aside and focus on the person and not the home. Or perhaps you can start, if that's a little intimidating to you, inviting someone into your home, into that intimate space, into that intimate relationship, maybe we start with inviting somebody, hey, can I go for coffee with you? Do you want to go for coffee with me? Maybe that's where you start, with the full intention and understanding that maybe the next time or the time after that, you'll say, hey, Do you want to come to my place? Maybe you start by coming to a Connect class Sunday morning at 9:30. We have Connect classes for kids starting at 2 years old, and it goes, we have three classes for adults. Maybe you start with that, of being in community, to get to see people, to see their faces. Or maybe you come early next week and you grab a cup of coffee and you sit down with someone you've never talked to before, with a full intention of going deeper. Or maybe today you find the person that's standing all alone and you ask them about their week. Here's the reality we have to recognize. If we don't do anything different, nothing will become different. Nothing will change. I do believe, strongly believe, that walking in close community and in these deep relationships is important to our spiritual lives from this day forward. To have that someone to walk with. Not the person that tells you about the weather every day. I mean, that's okay too, I guess. We have the weatherman. He's not our friend. Lots of days he's not our friend. But let's take our relationships to the next level. Let's pray. Father God, you have created us to be in community with others. You've created us for relationship. And God, we find it so hard so often to be real, to be transparent. But God, we recognize that nothing's going to be different if we don't do anything different. And so God, I pray that it would be our heart's desire to do things different and that we would step out of our comfort zone, step out of that box that's been really holding us hostage for a long time, keeping us lonely, maybe still struggling with sin because there's just nobody around to hold us accountable. And God, we want to be growing in our relationship with you. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for each other. Father, may you use us to build your church, to build your kingdom, to lift each other up, to build each other up when it gets hard. So we go from here, transform our lives. Pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.